You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill, and once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in part three of our interview with Pastor Ken Hutcherson, and I've really enjoyed it. Hutch, you there?
I am here, my brother.
You are definitely my favorite homo bigot, Hutch.
Well, I appreciate the support, man.
That I'm referring to what Hutch was called by Pam Spalding's website. It's a nasty, nasty website. She's a lesbian activist, and she called Hutch a homo bigot. And I've never been called that, Hutch. So I'm just a little bit jealous. But we're talking with Pastor Hutcherson, and it's just been a joy to get to know him. And now I'm understanding why whenever I say Hutch's name, anybody who's heard of him, maybe heard him on Rush Limbaugh, they know that guy. And Hutch, I think if you had a national show, you'd be tremendously popular, because nothing but great reactions whenever I mention that you're going to be our banquet speaker. And this is Saturday, November 13th, 6 p.m. The doors are going to open at 5:30. It's at the Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights. Hutch, I didn't tell you this. Maybe I don't know if you got my email, but did you know that a homosexual hate group has already announced that they're going to protest the banquet?
You know, you got to understand, there's always a blessing to have the right people mad at you.
Well, if that's the case, Hutch, these are the right guys. Their name is the Gay Liberation Network. They're sort of a Marxist outfit. Mm-hmm. One of the guys who's a leader says he's a Trotskyite. But they protest us every time, and they lied about us. They said that we're so hateful and everything. But anyways, Hutch, they'll be there to greet you, and maybe we can go out and talk to them. I don't know, but
that'd be good.
That's the Gay Liberation Network. They protest every event almost that we ever had. They protested our Truth Academy in August, and so we need to pray for these guys. They're lost souls. They really are. They're steeped in hate. They called even Moody Church, Hutch, which is about as innocuous as you can get in the Christian, the involvement that they really don't get involved in the culture war so much. And this group called Moody Church a house of hate because Erwin Lutzer had written a book critical of so-called same-sex marriage. So, again, folks, we got Hutch coming Saturday, November 13th at the Christian Liberty Academy, which is located at 502 West Euclid, Arlington Heights, Illinois. Go to our website. The price is $50, but by November 8th, after November 8th, it's going to be $75. And we are letting pastors come for free.
Wow,
so, I got the privilege of meeting a lot of pastors yesterday, Hutch. And if you're not going to come, would you consider making a $50 gift, those of you listening, to pay for a pastor? We don't want to charge the pastors because, number one, pastors don't usually have a lot of money. And we want them to hear this message because Ken Hutcherson is a man who's not afraid, who doesn't see the need to be docile just because he's a pastor. And Hutch, that's unfortunately the way a lot of pastors almost think regarding the culture war these days.
And most are afraid to be shepherds. They want to be liked, and that is not what Jesus called us to do. Jesus tells us they hated him. He was perfect. There's no way everyone's going to love us, bro.
That's right. That's right. And Hutch, speaking of that, I want to read a hate mail, and this is an offensive word, especially considering, Hutch, that you're black. And Hutch, I was going to ask you, I was just curious, because a lot of white people are curious about this, so I want you to tell me. Do blacks care about whether you use the phrase African-American? Is that a big deal?
Bruh, it is. It started. Do you know how all the names got going?
No, tell me, because a lot of people. I think I'm just being real here. A lot of white guys are like, well, should I say African American? Does it matter? Can I say black? I mean, tell us about that whole deal.
Well, the most accepted word today is African American. That's the most accepted. And if you are white and want to talk to someone that is black and you don't know them well enough to not use the word African American, is the most accepted word. But It's a positive word because for so many years, the names that they called us was negative, from colored, then to, you know, Negro, then colored, then black. When the big song came out by James Brown, was the first time that the positive word was used that all African Americans today grabbed onto, and that was "I'm Black and I'm Proud."
Right.
Huge success with that record. Then it came after Black, African American. So that is the walkthrough. The N-word was used for so many years, Negro and nigger. So those are offensive to the average African American today. But you know what's so amazing to me, Peter?
What's that?
Let me give you something that many people don't even think about. I wrote an article about the N-word some 4 months ago, 5 months ago. Do you know that no one had guts enough to publish it?
Oh, man.
No one. Because I was explaining, it was when Dr. Laura got in all that trouble about using it. And I wrote an article saying, look, the average white community don't understand the N-word. And you go, well, if black people use it, then why do you get offended when someone else uses it? And I wrote and explained that whole thing. I had to get that to you.
Yeah.
So you can see it. But everyone was afraid to do it. No one reprinted it. World Net Daily, you know, American Spectator, no one touched it. And most times, if I send an article in, they print it.
Right.
So they were afraid to do that.
Right.
And that is why it is so important to understand the cross-culture ministry, because if someone knows you love them, Peter, then there's something, there's things you can do and get away with that no one else can.
Right.
Because you have the relationship. But today, the most important aspect of acceptance is African American.
Right. That's good to hear, Hutch. Good explanation. And, you know, I think what we need racially in our, is just people to be genuine and real. And we've made a lot of progress. I think the most progress is in Christian circles, Hutch. Of course, you don't hear the media talking about that. I mean, you pastor at a multiracial church, right?
Yeah, predominantly white church. It is probably 65% of our church is white.
Well, you know, Hutch, I remember a story once, a guy talking to, he was on a plane the whole time with the black guy, an African-American guy, however you want to say it. And they were talking about the O.J. Simpson case.
Mm-hmm.
And then his friend was there, too. And so one white, one black. And the black guy thought O.J. was innocent, and the white guy just kind of went along. And afterwards, his friend said, well, why didn't you tell him what you really felt? And it was, he said, did you really think O.J. was innocent? And the guy said, oh, no, I was just, didn't want to offend him. And I think sometimes like that, Hutch, we're not being real with people. And, you know, we have to be honest with people. You know, if you think O.J. is guilty, don't say something different to a black person than you wouldn't say to a white person. You know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely.
And I think it's the same. You know, there's, but thank God we made a lot of progress in that area, Hutch. And let me read you this letter, because this is highly offensive. This is something. And
the other thing that I wanted to say just before you read the letter was that isn't it amazing that if you call someone colored today, that's black, they are very, very offended.
Right.
But the number one organization that has fought for civil rights for years is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Right.
It still got colored in their name, and I've challenged them on it. Why do you still have that in the name? And I have never, ever got a response.
because that's part of their brand, huh? Well, Hutch, you know, gosh, I'm getting off topic before I read this letter, but I mean, the other thing, of course, is the, you know, just the I don't know if it's too strong to call it the plantation mentality of these liberals. Here we've got solid black conservatives running all over the country, and the media is still treating the ideal of if you are an African American conservative, oh, there's something wrong with you. What are you, a traitor to your race? I mean, come on, there are some of the leading thinkers in the country now on the conservative side are black.
Yep.
Yet the media just doesn't seem to want to deal with that.
Well, Justice Thomas wasn't black. Condoleezza Rice wasn't black. Colin Powell wasn't black. So if you don't go down the line of liberal democratic thinkers, you're not black.
Right.
I mean, you just got to face it, Peter.
Yeah. So you're not black, Hutch.
I'm not black at all. made me pay 25 cents to get out of the black race.
Okay, Hutch, here's the letter. This is from a guy named Phil Horton. He says, he starts out with porno. because they've latched onto this very disturbing name for me, Porno Pete, and that's a whole other story. But I mean, the very same group of people which said, "Hey, you can't vilify homosexuals," are completely willing to vilify conservatives who oppose their agenda. And Hutch, I only got a minute 40 here, but I'll read it and then we'll talk after the break.
Sounds great.
He says, "Porno," which would be me, I suppose. "Why not have a new site called Americans for Truth About Niggers? This would not dilute your message and may provide some cross-marketing opportunities. Let's hear it for your dead teenagers. Signed, Phil." Hutch, can you believe that?
You should hear some of the things that we get. That's tame.
Well, you know, again, it's this idea that if you oppose homosexuality, you are somehow like the Klan. And I think, you know, I can't believe that they're still trying to push this lie, Hutch, but they've latched onto it.
They don't have any other ways to support themselves except with a lie. Yeah. And that's the biggest problem that we have, even in Christian circles, that many, it's just like that guy not telling the truth about O.J. Simpson, with African-American he was talking to. He was afraid to tell the truth. He was afraid to accept the truth, because in accepting the truth, he has to change.
Right.
And that's why many people want, and that's one of the things I want to talk about at the banquet. It is going to be absolutely amazing. Why is it that people don't want to believe that God wrote the Bible? Why is it that people don't want to believe that God has the standard?
Too much at stake, Hutch. If it's true, then there's a lot to deal with there. We're talking with Ken Hutcherson, who's our speaker at our banquet, Americans for Truth, November 13th. Get a reservation at americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back. It's Peter LaBarber with the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in part three, our third part of our interview with Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who's our banquet speaker, November 13th. That's Saturday at the Christian Liberty Academy. Go to americansfortruth.org. Go to the donate page. You can PayPal. It's $50 by November 8th. After November 8th, it's going to be $75. We are letting pastors come for free. And if you can't go, please make a $50 donation to pay for a pastor. We want pastors here in Illinois, all across the country. We've got to wake up pastors. And Hutch, you were saying how that letter was tame. Now, you have done some amazing things, which I wanted to get into in this interview. You took on the Day of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you started? Let's just separate out. You've probably gotten just racist hate mail, other types of hate mail. Is some of your worst stuff when you took on the homosexual issue?
That's basically the only issue that I've been attacked on.
Right.
And we do so many things, other things at our church. We just stand for marriage. We have kicked more people out of the church for divorce. I mean, literally, church discipline, more people on divorce than we have for homosexuality. And yet, you never hear about those things. It is only when you deal with homosexuality.
Now, let me interrupt, Hutch. That would be, you're talking about people who have unbiblical divorces. A guy says, "Oh, that woman over there is cute. I think I want to get divorced." So explain what happens at your church.
What we do is we walk through Matthew 18 with anyone that is in sin, regardless of what the sin is, and they don't want to repent. We go to them twice, take others, witnesses. We bring them before the leadership, and if they still won't repent, we're telling them that on this day we're going to bring you before the church. If you want to be there, you can. And most don't come, of course. And we bring you before the church. We tell the church what the issue is. We tell them the name of the person. And we tell them that we are pulling fellowship and kicking them out. And that their job is to only give them one message, and that is to repent. You don't put your arm around them. You don't make things seem like it's okay. And if you do, then we will discipline you at the same way.
Wow. So now, somebody who's a flagrant homosexual, who's proud of his homosexuality, would not be welcome at your church.
No, because of sin. Absolutely not.
Now, if there's a guy who's struggling with homosexuality, he would be welcome at your church.
We will work with them and try to give them the support that is needed to get out of that sin, just like we would anyone else.
Right, so you're not talking about any special treatment because it's a homosexual issue. In fact, what you're saying is no special treatment on this issue. You want to treat it like any other sexual sin.
Absolutely. We want to treat it as any other sin. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, we had to deal with people with sins that no one ever knows about because they repent.
Right.
You know, if you repent, then there's nothing said. And you get the support group that is needed to make sure you're going to walk holy with the Lord. That that's what we're about. And so homosexuality is just one of the sins. The biggest problem with homosexuality is the only sin is fighting for equal rights.
Right. Yeah, equal rights at the expense of our rights, and we're going to get into that, Hutch. So I mean, let's just finish on this point. You've got two guys. They want to show that Ken Hutcherson is the homo bigot that Pam Spalding, the lesbian activist, says. So they go into your church and they hold hands together. That would not be tolerated.
No,
because that would be like flaunting any other sin.
Absolutely.
It's just like you wouldn't let a guy with his mistress come in and be holding hands at your church. Right.
No, we know about it. They will be confronted.
Okay, that's refreshing, Hutch, and you know how wonderful that it'd be treated just like any other sin. But now, you're telling me, so basically, the hate mail started coming to you when you took on the Day of Silence. Is that true?
No, before. One of the apex of what was happening. It started back when we did the May Day for Marriage down at the baseball. At Safeco Field, and when we only had 21 days, Peter, to put this rally together, and everyone was saying it's impossible, there's no way we're going to do it. I said, well, man says it's impossible. I think God wants us to do it because marriage is so bad. That's when it came out in Massachusetts, and then it went to California, and then they brought it to the state of Washington.
You're talking about the legalized so-called gay marriage.
Right, and it's not going to happen here in Washington. We're going to stop it. And so I called several other pastors. We got together. We started talking. May 1st was coming up in 30 days. That's May Day. And I said, hey, let's have a May Day for marriage. And I had a nationwide campaign put together for adoption at the time. And because we do adoption free, no fee adoptions at our church.
Wow.
And, by the way, Peter, we placed almost 300 kids in the last 7 years for no fee.
Oh, praise God. That is awesome. 300 kids with no cost to the parents.
Right.
Wow.
The only thing they have to do, they got to pay a lawyer to make, you know, do all the legal fees. But other than that, no.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal ministry. So I already had the whole process in place to do a big run for adoptions. So I just felt that God wanted us to take that strategy and do it for the next 30 days to put together the May Day for Marriage. You know how many people we had show up after 30 days down at Safeco?
How many?
About 25,000.
Wow.
It was an absolute amazing. We had Tony Perkins come out from Family Research. We had Dr. Dobson come from Focus at the time. And we had some of the local pastors spoke, and I closed it out. It was amazing. And now that started the national attacks on Ken Hutcherson.
Yeah.
Then we took it to Washington, D.C. We had 3 months to put it together.
And again, people were telling you, Hutch, don't do this. Don't do this.
Don't do it.
These are pro-family people saying, oh, they're afraid it's not going to be a success.
It's going to make us all look bad. You know, that was a big word. There's not enough time. You know how long it takes to put a national rally together?
Yeah.
You know how long we've just tried to do just local rallies and that don't help? I go, well, I put one together in 30 days and had 25,000. So why do you think I don't believe God to do this in a whole 3 months? I mean, we got a lot of time. Well, we went ahead and did it, and we had it on the mall, and we had around 250,000 come.
Wow.
It was an amazing. So that made
Was that 2000? What year was that, Hutch?
Oh, my goodness. It was right before Bush's second term.
Okay.
So what, 2004?
Yeah. 250,000 people on the mall for marriage.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, it was.
So that's the largest pro-marriage, pro-family. Is that the largest pro-family rally that is outside of the life issue?
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but it is.
It is. I mean, you got all those life rallies, but there is no. I don't remember too many. Of course, I'm not talking conservative rallies, Tea Party, that thing. I'm talking pro-family. That sounds to me like it might be the largest pro-family rally ever outside of the abortion issue.
It was an amazing time. We held it in October 2003. Yeah.
Wow.
It was and that put me, of course, on the front sights of every homosexual in the United States and the world. I even got attacked from Europe. Latvia was huge. I went over and spent 4 days in Riga, Latvia.
Yeah.
And it changed the whole nation around. 4 days, Peter.
That's awesome.
That was after the big rally in D.C. And, man, it's nothing like being cursed out in another language.
Well, at least you don't get to hear the words, right? You don't understand the words. So, of course, the attacks come. And what's the line of the attack, Hutch? You're not really. How could you be? What is it? Do you get extra harsh attacks on the because you're African American, right?
It is unbelievable. They tell me, you should understand the fight. You have gone through the same fight. And I go, let me give you a little secret, bro. The same fight is the difference between an apple and a Volkswagen. It has nothing to do with each other. And you are trying to get something that is not constitutional protected, where my rights were.
Yeah, and Hutch, this is the case where you are really the ideal person in the country to speak on this. You're married to a white woman.
Yes.
You say you have German chocolate kids. And yet, now, let's be clear, the homosexual movement, no matter what you say, they continually push this line, not only that theirs is a civil rights movement,
right,
but then they say on the marriage issue, they keep harkening back to, what is it, Loving versus Virginia,
right,
where the Supreme Court properly struck down this ridiculous ban on interracial marriages. Those are real marriages. Why would they be struck down? That's a testimony to the racism that existed in this country. But they're trying to equate your situation with this homosexual so-called marriage. What a travesty that is.
It's absolutely amazing. And my big thing that I would tell them is absolutely that law struck down, but wasn't it the fight for the marriage between a man and a woman?
Yes.
It didn't change anything. It was about a black man, white woman, black woman, white man. But it was still, the issue was a man could marry a woman regardless of what color. Had nothing to do with a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman. You are lost in your thinking. You are lost in your ways, and you are lost in your salvation, and you are making excuses for not repenting and giving God control of your life.
Yeah, and Hutch, I wanted to talk to you here from a pastor's perspective. I mean, how blasphemous is the idea of homosexual so-called marriage? I mean, you're attaching noble and goodness to perversion.
Every society that has accepted homosexuality has failed. Look through history. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the great powers were. You look at the Babylonian captivity of the Jews, which was the number one world power at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sex, homosexuality became rampant. Nebuchadnezzar failed through his son. Big part, if you remember, and God had to come and write on the wall about how terrible he was and how he had stepped away from godly principles. We look at the Persian Empire, the Second World Kingdom. What happened? Sex, homosexuality, ran rampant. Third, Greek. They got whipped up greatly, quickly, because of the death of Alexander the Great. We look at the Roman Empire, brother. The worst empire, the only one that wasn't destroyed, Peter, it was dispersed. And the number one weakness of the Roman Empire was acceptance of sexual perversion and homosexuality.
Right. So, we're deluded if we think things are going to be different in the United States of America. And I want to talk to you after the break, Hutch. None of those societies actually try to advance official homosexual marriage. That's taking it way beyond.
That's right.
Okay, we're talking to Ken Hutcherson. We'll be back in a minute. Ken is our featured speaker at our Americans for Truth Banquet on November 13th.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who's our featured speaker, keynote speaker, November 13th, Saturday, at the Americans for Truth Banquet in Christian Liberty Academy, which is a great institution up there in Arlington Heights. You do not want to miss this. Hutch is a gifted orator, and he's a great thinker, and he's a great man of God who's got courage. Hutch, I was just thinking as you were talking about that, we've got never in history, correct me if I'm wrong, has any government or officially tried to establish this perversion of homosexual marriage.
Oh.
And yet here we are in America. It's coming down the pike, and in other countries now, thanks to it started in America, of course, then it goes to the other countries. I mean, why has God spared us, Hutch?
I mean, like you said, I think we're a toast in America if we don't turn around. It is so important for what you said, Peter, for the people to understand the importance of that statement. With all the other major world powers being destroyed because of accepting the sexual perversion, they never push marriage. Never.
The idea would not. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Hutch, but the idea would not have occurred to them. And here it is. Now these people are saying this is a basic fundamental right. I mean, the chutzpah of these activists, and I put in their liberal straits as well, yeah, who are backing them. You know, it's amazing.
It is beyond explanation because man is weak. It reminds me of the white guy talking to the African-American on the plane about O.J. He was just too afraid to speak up and tell the truth because it may offend. And that's what's happening with the homosexual issue. So many people disagree with it, but they don't want to speak up because they think they may offend. They have seen how people have been attacked, whoever stood up against it, and they are not willing to say, I'm going to be attacked. I mean, you know, come out to the Hutchison's house if you want to know what it means to be attacked for standing up. But I know no other way other than to stand on righteousness and what God says in His Word. It's been amazing what our family's gone through.
Tell us, Hutch, what some of the things have happened to you?
Well,
we talked last week about the terrible thing, and I've found people all over the country are shocked at that story of two white people standing up and telling that you, Ken Hutcherson, are not qualified to speak on Martin Luther King Day. I mean, the arrogance and the I can't believe they would even do that. But that's nothing compared to what some of the other things you've experienced.
Oh,
right?
My goodness, we had. That's when we really stepped up to fight that day of silence. And the police were supposed to be at the rally to keep the two groups separate, right?
Well, back up. So you found out about this day of silence where the so-called gay kids and their allies go in there and they say, hey, we're not going to talk today.
Right.
So what happened? You said, we're going to fight this?
Oh, we said we're going to stop it. And we put a rally together to come up to the school on the day of silence. And the police was kind of late on purpose. And when we arrived to start setting up for our part of the rally, the paid homosexual defenders of homosexuality, and they bust them in, Peter, like they always do on major rallies. And they came up right on me. I mean, like a vicious, angry mob. And all the guys that was with me, I have, bodyguards all the time. If I'm out in public, and people know where I'm going to be, surrounded me, and they just kept pushing. They had signs. I mean, some of the things on the signs was unbelievable. They had one guy that got right next to me with a sign that says, throw rocks here. Throw rocks here means we need to stone this man because of his stand. And finally the police got there, and I said, look, you guys are supposed to be here. You guys are supposed to keep us separate. These guys are right on top of us. You want trouble, let this continue because it's getting worse and worse. And so one of these guys are going to touch me, and he's going to be knocked out by one of my bodyguards. So what are you going to do about it? That's when the police came in and separated the two groups. It was very, very close. The words, they call my wife a nigger lover. It's getting real close, Peter, when you start talking to my wife and talking to my kids.
Absolutely.
My daughter was there. It was just bad. They was calling me homophobe. They was calling me bigot. They was calling me nigger, the number one nigger of homophobia. I mean, it was vicious.
Now these were just these left wing activists who had come in, and they were. Do you got a video of this, Hutch?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we do, bro. I mean, I hadn't even thought about it.
We got to dig that up because, you know, they're saying we're the haters, and yet none of us would ever talk like this. I mean, this is incredible.
And the news came. The news was there, all the cameras, and it was so amazing how they reported it on the news. It was none of the words being used, none of the signs really did they show. They were just showing anytime there was a picture of the crowd that had been separated from us, they made sure they was far enough away you couldn't read their signs. And it was an amazing report. But, you know, I would ask because we probably do have it. I think we – and you're going to be amazed. You're going to be blown away at what happened.
Well, we got to get that. And that's why we always document everything we do, Hutch, because this is what happens. And the media, as we talked about before, has become an arm of the homosexual movement. And I'm telling everybody out there, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a secular, whether you're an atheist, if you care about this issue, you have to understand – consider the media part of the homosexual movement. The media is not going to do a favorable story about Ken Hutcherson.
No, absolutely not. During the apex of all the trouble after the day of silence, after the rally on the mall, after the May Day for Marriage rally in Seattle, I mean, it was so vicious that we had to really be careful about what we did. We tried to protect where our address was, our home. We had to protect when we're going to be, how we're going to travel to one place to another. We tried to keep it quiet about the schools our kids was going to because as my wife and I, Pat, we had decided that we was going to keep our kids in public school. That's just the way we believed that we could be the biggest impact. And I don't think that homeschooling is bad. I don't think Christian school is bad. I just think that as a pastor of Antioch, with the stance we take, that our family should stay in public school. So we were trying to protect that. The teachers, after that Day of Silence rally and the Martin Luther King rally, put in the paper, the gay paper, where our kids went to school.
Oh, man.
Then we had to really be concerned about what they wanted to do with our kids or try to hurt our kids. And we just said, no, this is not going to happen. One of my boys, my oldest boy, was in junior high at the time. And he was supposed to speak at the Martin Luther King Assembly because only a few African-American kids, well, even though they had white, they make, you know, the schools call them black. So it's amazing because they get more money, you know, for minority kids in the education system.
Right.
You want to talk about prejudice. And that is amazing. So he was supposed to speak at the Martin Luther King Assembly. And when that thing hit up there with me on the Day of Silence and with the Martin Luther King Assembly, the principal came to him and says, we think it'd be better for you not to speak today because of what's going on with your father. And I hit the ceiling. We were down there at that school so fast that you couldn't even tell there was any time before when he said it and when we found out about it. And we didn't even find out about it until the night at dinner when he started laughing. Oh, Dad, your stand is affected me. I couldn't even speak today. I go, what are you talking about?
Mm.
And he was talking about what the principal had told him. So my wife and I was down at that school the very next day going, what are you doing? That is prejudice towards my boy.
So Hutch, you had committed one of the things that's just not allowed anymore. You not only disagreed with the Day of Silence, you took a public stance against it. And that's
absolutely
precisely.
And every year, the schools here, not just the school my kids in, want to have a Day of Silence, I fight it. And that's why I wrote that article and put it in the gay paper about the dangerous lifestyle of homosexuality.
And Hutch, has your church been attacked? I mean, have you gotten hate calls at church and all that thing?
Oh, my goodness, bro. You would not believe it. We have had so much hate mail. But when I was at the apex of this, I was having about 400 threats a year.
400 physical violent threats by email or phone or something like that?
Yep, the blogs. And the big one is that this Negro needs to be killed. This guy is a homophobe. He does not deserve to live. We need to find out where he lives so we can set it up. So we find out that things was getting pretty bad when two major things happened at our home. One, we would come, and that was We live on a dead-end street, which is good, because there's no through traffic. And our mail started disappearing. And our neighbors found all of our mail up on the end of the road in a ditch. So they brought it to us and said, do you know what's happening with your mail? I go, no, we've been, missing it for several days. Come to find out, they had found out where I live, and there was 11 mailboxes on the bottom of the road. There was another 7 mailboxes on the end of the road. And my mailbox was the only one being attacked. So I had to end up getting one of those major steel mailboxes that protect our mail.
That's a felony, too,
yeah,
Hutch, isn't
it? Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely it is.
So they're stealing your mail or putting it in a ditch.
Wow. And what they wanted us to know that it was someone that had found out where I live. They didn't touch any of the mailboxes, never said anything, never damaged any other mailboxes but ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was letting us know that, we know where you live now.
Intimidation.
And
I'm sure there's a little bit of white gay racism. We know that's out there that was involved in some of this, too.
Skinheads.
Because, even in the gay press, you read about they talk about the racism that exists in their community, which is makes it all the more ironic that they're comparing their movement to the civil rights movement. Well, Hutch, anything else? Any other terrible things?
We had a major event at the house. Pat and I had to go on a overnight trip. And my daughters decided they wanted to have some friends over and have an all-nighter with girls. I said, okay, you guys got to be very careful, Don't leave any of these. Make sure the gates are closed.
Yeah, Hutch, let's pick up on that when we get back after the break. We're talking to Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who's our keynote speaker at our Americans for Truth Banquet, Saturday, November 13th. You don't want to miss this. At the Christian Liberty Academy, go online, americansfortruth.org, americansfortruth.org. It's November 13th. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to Pastor Ken Hutcherson of Antioch Bible Church. He's also he started the May Day for Marriage rallies, huge successes. Hutch, you were telling us about this incident at your house.
Yes, and we always, once we start getting all of the threats and things, we have to tell the kids to take special precautions how to do things. Well, the girls were going to have that all night if Pat and I was gone. And I said, okay, make sure, keep the gates closed. They got to ring the bell to get in, let them in, and make sure that all the cars and everything is inside the gates, because they know where we live. And once you get everybody in, then you can turn the dogs loose. So we have, I had to get guard dogs. I've always loved dogs, but it made sense to make sure I have more than one with all the threats that we was having. And so one of the friends came late, and they was waiting, and she parked a car outside the gate. She didn't ring the bell. She just got out of a car, walked in, and didn't even think about telling our girls that the cars are outside the gates on the street. And they just went ahead and made sure the gates was closed and started having their slumber party. Well, everything went good, they thought, all night. They got up the next morning. The girl walked down and says, my car's outside. They go, what? My car's outside on the street. They go, no, you shouldn't have ever done that. They walked down, Peter, and every window in her car was busted out. Front windshield, the back, the side doors, everything. Nothing was missing out of the car, and it was just letting us know, we know where you live.
That's creepy, Hutch.
Back off.
That is really creepy that they're showing you they know where you live, and wow. How has your church and your family responded? I mean, it's courageous of you to not back down, because most people, Hutch, that's what they do. They back down. Dr. Laura, who's the pastor of Rick Warren out in California.
Oh, is that a sad commentary?
Yeah, everybody. Rick Warren, that one hurt bad.
Bad.
They get the challenge, and of course, that's not even – they didn't get near the challenge that you got. You're talking threats, but you still haven't backed down, and that's the reason that you're at our banquet, Hutch. We need people like that. How has your family and the church stood behind you on this?
They're solid, just solid as a rock. They know that their pastor, where he stands on the word, they expect nothing less out of me and my family. It's the same way.
Hutch, the thing is that it's almost like you know, they want you to forsake the Bible. And, you know, I want you to talk about this at our banquet as well, and I'm sure you're going to get questions on this. You know, this emergent church, this liberal church that comes in, basically what that's saying, that church is, hey, we got to pull back a little bit. We can't really apply the Bible wholly on this issue because, you know, a lot of gays don't like Christians who are anti-gay, and they're basically saying sell out a little bit on that scripture because it's too offensive right now.
I wish that they would go to the gladiatorial games and see the amount of Christians that wouldn't bend down, wouldn't stop standing for Christ, wouldn't deny him, and thrown to the lions. Today, we can't even be thrown to criticism. We're worried about who we are, and we can't even deal with public relations. So, you know, I don't want people around me. We got a big move in our men out here, and I told a story about the farm animals that was going to supply breakfast for the pastor. And, you know, the chicken's going to give eggs, and the cow going to give milk, and the horse going to give him a ride, and the bird's going to sing. It's going to be a beautiful breakfast. And they looked over, and there was a pig laying under the tree. And they said, "Miss Pig, why don't you give the bacon?" She said, "Okay, let's talk about that. You guys are going to participate, but for me, it's got to be total commitment to give the bacon." And so we got a lot of chicken Christians. We got a lot of cow Christians, horse and canary Christians. But out at Antioch, we got porkers for Christ. Total commitment. We'll raise the back bacon makers for Christ. That's our men.
Well, Hutch, we got 5 minutes left, and I wanted you to comment on this case and the whole issue of civil rights because, you know, here's a woman, an African-American woman, Julia Ward. This is just one case. Julia Ward wants to study counseling at the University of Eastern Michigan University. She was told that she would not renounce her belief that homosexuality is wrong. She could not counsel a homosexual person in a way that would imply or state outright that homosexuality or gay relationships are okay.
Yeah.
Now she lost her. She was kicked out. They told her you could stay in, but you have to do a quote remediation program, which Hutch is basically like re-education.
Right.
The purpose. She had to see the error of her ways, and she had to change her belief system on the issue of homosexuality. Hutch, she is now appealing your case. This is a black woman who is being denied her right to an education because she will not renounce her Christianity. Now, this is a movement, the homosexual movement. The media is starting to refer to homosexual groups as, quote, civil rights groups.
Yep.
Hutch, they're calling them, they don't even call them even gay civil rights groups. They call them civil rights groups.
Right. So what you got to understand is this is not the first case. It also happened to a white girl that was thrown out of her counseling if she didn't deny. So when you look at who is the real big, who is the real haters, who is the real one who is want to subdue another person's right. It's a homosexual community. And now you got a black woman fighting to make sure that she can keep her views, her Christian views, and saying that she has a right to be able to do this in her education. Now, if it's a civil rights deal, why aren't they the same people fighting for her?
Yeah, do you mind calling our movement to live by our freedom of conscience, our belief system? This is a civil rights movement we're talking about.
If the homosexual community want to call it civil rights, go ahead, because I'm going to call it, on the outside, we got the same rights. So now the issue is those courts out there who is extremely prejudiced toward anything that's not politically correct. And I want to ask our community, as they're listening to us today, where is the balance of the courts? There's no balance of the courts. The courts are taking over, and we in our apathy is stupid in letting it happen.
Yeah, and then we talked earlier about the military case, this Virginia Kennedy, this judge who is now basically overturned the military policy on homosexuality all by her lonesome. This is incredible. And under Obama, they're letting it go through so far.
Incredible.
I mean, they ought to just say, forget it. It's in the Constitution. You don't have authority over the army, but they're letting this thing. Now they're letting homosexuals in. Hutch, you know. What do you got to say about Obama, by the way, Hutch?
they don't know the Pandora's box. They're opening. If they let this judge get away with this type of decision, we got three branches of government, and they're balanced, supposed to be balanced out. And the courts now thinks they are supreme, not just the Supreme Court. Courts themselves in the Ninth and all the different court districts think they are supreme. And we better wake up as Americans, we better wake up as Christians, because we're losing our God-given rights, which no one can take away.
That's right. And I think of that parental rights case in Massachusetts where they said now teaching tolerance of homosexuality is part of American. It's a part of the American ideal.
Not in our house.
So they're taking away our rights, Hutch. Hutch, 30 more seconds. What are you going to tell us out here in Illinois when you come out?
Why are we so blind? That's what I'm speaking of. Why are we so blind and refuse to open our eyes?
And so stubborn, too, Hutch, and lazy and apathetic.
That's all in the
We need to hear the message, Hutch, especially out here. Don't forget, we're the state that gave America Obama.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try to close my eyes and minds to that idea. I'm walking in the belly of the beast here.
Oh, you are. I'll tell you, it doesn't get much worse in Illinois in terms of the politics. But, Hutch, thanks for being a guest for 3 episodes, and we look forward to having you out here.
Thank you so much, brother. Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, and people pray for Hutch. He's living with cancer. I've never heard such a wonderful testimony as our last interview. And, folks, you can hear all 3 interviews at AmericansForTruth.org. Go to the I think it's the left side now, the Americans for Truth Hour. Click the button and play that. Now, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to go to the website. I want you to sign up $50 by November 8th for the banquet. It is Saturday, November 13th, 6 o'clock. Go to AmericansForTruth.org or just make a donation. We need your help. The banquet, Saturday, November 13th, 6 p.m. at the Christian Liberty Academy. I hope to see you there. God bless you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.